Today we're doing a baby dedication. We got two babies that are going to be dedicated. My granddaughter, Mia Jo, and Stella Ann. I'm going to share a little bit about it. Most of the time, baby dedications are, we know we don't baptize them in water. And the reason why is because we want them to be able to say that themselves. We want them to be able to say, you know what, I want to be baptized. And so they come to that knowledge when they become a little older, age of 12 or 13 years old. So what we do is dedicate them to God. And I'm going to just share a little bit about it. Baby dedication is a biblical event that takes place in a newborn's life. Parents and loved ones are involved in this young person's life for as long as they live. They help to watch them, to raise them up, discipline them, and speak into their lives so that they won't veer off course. When we dedicate our children to God, He provides three things through His word: protection, guidance, and anointing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was dedicated in the temple. In Luke 2, 22 through 25, this is the New King James Version, it says, "Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." In Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now notice it doesn't say train up a child in the way you want them to go. The way they should go is in the direction of the Lord and in his word. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. A child's salvation is not guaranteed through dedication, because we know children, when they grow up to be teens and adults, can stray away from God's protection by their own free will. But we believe God's word and action will not return to him void. So it's imperative that the parents stay connected to God in their own personal relationships so that they can train up their child in righteousness and in godliness. In today's culture, we have so many avenues of information that our children can get a hold of and begin to go astray. Parents, this is your responsibility to make sure the information they receive is godly, holy, and true. But always remember, you can't take your child where you haven't gone yourself. So before you teach and train your child, make sure you put into practice what you're ready to teach. Amen? So if the families would come up, the babies, bring your babies up. Mia Jo, Stella Ann, all your families that you want to partake in this. If you want to stay there, that's fine. Come on up. Now, as I say this pledge, I want you to say, "We do," okay? That means that you're in agreement with what I'm saying. "In the sight of God and in his congregation, do you understand that the vows you are about to speak are binding before your heavenly Father? Do you both promise to teach your child about Jesus early in his life, early in their life, and lead her to the Lord? Do you promise to raise up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and see to it that she has godly friends that know and have a personal relationship with Jesus? Will you instruct her in the way of holiness and live a life that may be a good example for her? Through these prayers and proclamations, we mark your child with the seal of the Holy Ghost." In Hebrews 11:28, says, "By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them." In Matthew 18:4-7, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this and in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck, and if he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. Offense for offenses must come, but woe to that man who the offense comes through." Each child has an angel of protection. In Matthew 18:10, it says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father in heaven." The spiritual offspring of Abraham and heirs to his blessing. In Galatians 3:29, It says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are God's children and anointed and are not to be touched. In 1 Chronicles 16, 15 through 22, it says, remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as the atonement of your inheritance. When you were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Children are seeds of righteousness and who are in the care of the Almighty, living in a home of kings and priests and of the Most High. We set a bounty on the head of any person or spirit who touches God's little ones. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these two little ones, Lord. We thank you for the life, health, and strength. We thank you for the plans and purposes that you have for them. Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I dedicate these children, Mia Jo and Stella Ann, to do your will. And Father, I thank you for this beautiful life that you have blessed us with. We speak blessings over these babies' lives because they belong to you. Protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger, and let the plans you have for them in a future and a hope come to full measure in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. All right. I'm not going to shake your hand. No, no. This is for you. My wife put these together. There you go. Here's another. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. God bless you. Hey, Dean, can you turn some air on the stage, please? Yeah, there's a bead coming off my head. A beat or two. Today's message is, as he walked, so do you. As Jesus walked here on this earth, so are we supposed to walk. In the book of Numbers, if you got your Bibles open up, if not, you can look up here on the screens. It says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Well, has he? No, he hasn't lied. He hasn't spoken anything that didn't fail to come to pass. And he's on our side. We're on his side. Hopefully we're on his side because that's the best side to be on, right? Whatever the Father has spoken in the Bible, you can take that to the bank. We may value our loved ones' words more so than God's, but you have to understand, in him there is no lie. It's the reason why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. There is no lie. There is no deceit. There is no evil. He created all things, and he called them good. See, We know that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So whatever may happen in your situation, God made sure that he never violated his word. You might be thinking, Lord, okay, I'm in this situation. How come I'm not out of it yet? How come I'm not out of it? Just stay patient. Wait on the Lord. He's going to turn your situation around. Just be patient. He's going to turn your situation around. Since the history of time, God has never spoken something that hasn't come to pass. Since the history of time, yet we will sometimes test God whether we know it or not. We will doubt what his word says from time to time. We will place more of an emphasis on a problem than we do the answer. Brandon kind of alluded to that as well. Every gift comes from from God and it's perfect and there is no sin in what God gives us. If it becomes tainted, it becomes tainted because of what we do with it, with those gifts. God's gift, every gift is perfect. That's out of the book of James. Every gift is perfect from God. When he gives it to you, it's a perfect gift. Now, if you want to take that gift and mess it up, that's on us. It's not on God. And nothing can be added to God's character and nature. He's perfect in every way. God doesn't need to grow, we do. He knows it all. We are the ones that is lacking in knowledge, and the Father is just waiting for the opportunity to just deposit what he knows into us. He can't wait for you to ask him, Lord, I need some help in this. And the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask. He's waiting for you to ask. You know, it's funny when people, God doesn't want you to have money. Here's the thing, God would rather you have wisdom more so than money. Because you're going to need wisdom to know what to do with that. Solomon was blessed with many riches, but what did he ask for? Come on. Learn from that. You can also learn not to have all those women that he had with him. One is enough. More than enough. She's good. She's good. We're good. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me out of this. Take the wheel, Lord. No, sorry. If you knew what was really on the inside of you, you would let the enemy know. If you really knew what was greater is he that is. In Psalms 135, says this, I know the greatness of the Lord, that our Lord is greater than any other God. Our Lord is greater than any other God. No matter what people try to do, no matter which direction they go, no matter what kind of mountains they construct in their lives, I said, there's nothing greater than our God. When you stay connected with the Father, you will know his greatness. There is no other God that matches the character and nature of God. God doesn't wear you down. He builds you up. He strengthens you. When you are weak, then he is strong, right? We know that. 1 John 3 says this, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and he knows everything. Your feelings are real. Your emotions are real. But sometimes they can fool you. That's not where he wants our faith to be in our emotions, because we're going to be just like a roller coaster all day long. We're going to be like, I mean, it's if you're a fanatic, you're cheering for your team. You know, throughout the season, you're up and down if they're not very good. Up and down, you're stepping one day, and then the next day it's like, well, what's going on, man? Nothing. Why? Well, team lost. Your feelings and emotions can get the best of you every single day. So we don't ride that coaster of feelings and emotions. We stick with the word of God, which is where we place our faith. We can't forget that God is greater. We forget that God is greater than our mistakes. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. Now, I don't like to jump into everybody else's situations, but I heard a popular church is going to step away from talking about Calvary and the blood of Jesus. And guess what? I said, you have my word. We will not veer from that. If it's in the Bible, we're going to teach it. The blood of Jesus, without any shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We don't want to confuse any unbelievers. I said, hey. We're all trying to grow. We're all trying to win. But if you don't tell them about what Jesus has done fully, then you're misleading them. The blood of Jesus is something that's powerful. We all want to grow in numbers. People may talk about mega churches, but in reality, we all may want to get there unless there are some personal issues that is going on to where an individual just won't grow. But what are we willing to leave out in our lives in order to get there? What are we willing to leave out in order to grow? I'm not willing to leave out anything but what the Lord tells me. As Jesus walks, so do you. As he spoke, so do you. You do it with confidence in him. Penn State. Bible studies. Sharing their faith. And pretty bold about it. See, you could be boldness, it's that confidence in him. And everybody can have confidence. You can have confidence in your abilities. But when you have confidence in him, it's a whole nother ballgame. It's a different level. It sets you apart. When we get to the place where we can get things done without God being in our lives, then our confidence ends up becoming arrogance and pride. Anytime we think we can make it without our Heavenly Father leading us in the right direction, it can turn something sound into something sounding like a resounding cymbal. Less of God equals arrogance and pride. More of God, faith and confidence in him. Less in God will equal arrogance and pride. More of God will equal faith and confidence in him. And Proverbs 27:1 says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble?" You know, it's a whole lot easier once you have that explanation, when you know a whole lot more. I don't know about you, when I was a teenager, when I played, I wasn't afraid, but I didn't know as much as I did when I became an adult and still playing the game. Because I've learned some and when I step on a court, it was more of a confidence. Man, the game slows down, it's a whole lot easier. And when you're younger, you're like running with your head cut off, like seems like a chicken with a head. That's like, so when you understand that stuff, you know there's nothing to be afraid of. I step out on the court, I can do my thing, man. Nowadays, I just gotta think about jumping. Because I don't wanna hurt my knees. But I had that confidence to be able to go out there and do what I needed to do. When you're facing the enemy, you have that confidence in God that you're able to go out and do what you need to do every single time because he doesn't change his tactics. So not only the enemy is watching you as he roams the earth, better yet, you have a Heavenly Father that watches you too. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go. Now, how reassuring is that, that God protects his children? David's salvation was not in his own strength, but it was in God's. It was God's light, and it was God's salvation. The opposition that was coming at David was like no other, but he understood this one thing. God is for him. He's for him. And he's for you. No matter what's coming against you, he's for you. The same God that delivered him over and over again had not changed at all. David said, "So why should I be afraid? The Lord protects me. He's got my back." Most of the things Jesus did was with the word. He spoke it out. He spoke it first. And as he talked, so do we. And as he walks, so do we. As he loves, so do we. As he forgives, so do we. As he hates, so do we. We love what he loves. We hate what he hates. We speak what he speaks. Spoken, however you want to say it. For all you English grammars in there, correcting my grammar, go correct it in your mind. But know that I still love you. I know some people may want to get out of doing all the things that he's done, but it's more beneficial for the kingdom and for you. God can't just take it away. You got to speak it. You got to say it. You got to get involved in it. And then he's going to bring that stuff to pass. And say it like you mean it. say it with your chest out. You don't have to, seriously, we can't manipulate God. Say it like you mean it. We can't manipulate him and thinking, well, you know, if I cry a little bit, if I bring some tears and maybe he'll do it. No, get confident in him. You know, I'm not a very good cook. I can grill, I can barbecue. I'm not a very good cook. I can make some fried bologna sandwiches, that's about it. But if I were to cook and I gotta eat it, I mean what I say when I pray over this food. Because I don't know how it's going to turn out, because I don't want no food poison or anything like that. It may be undone and all that other stuff. Might be a few shells in the... I make the worst omelets ever. Made one for Tosiah one time, and it's like, yeah, this isn't good. It's nasty. I did it one time, and I, you know, Kristen told me, I said, why was the vegetables and all that stuff, the ham, so cold? She goes, you got to put it in there first. I said, that makes sense. I put the egg in and then that stuff in, and then it folded it over, and it was still cold. I was like, yeah, that doesn't work. Cook your vegetables first and your ham and all that stuff, and then saute it. But I'm going to pray, and when I pray, I'm going to mean it. When you pray, you got to mean it. You do it with that confidence in him. You have to speak it first and trust he will do what his word says. So even when the enemy wants to stir up a lot of things around you, it won't bother you anymore. It will not disturb your peace. Jesus said in John 14, don't be troubled. See, he's coming back for you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. God is in control of the circumstances. He knows how all of this is going to turn out. And so do you if you read the word. We know how it's going to turn out. He knows how it's going to turn out. But if we don't operate by the word and by what it says, we're not going to get the results that we are expecting. Number one reason. Jesus told his disciples not to be troubled. He says, because God is trustworthy. Anytime that you need to overcome any problem in your life, you can rest in knowing that God wants you trusting in him. He's ready for you to come to him. He's ready. He's ready for you to be bold and to trust him. Even if the enemy heats up your situation 7 times hotter, you don't back down from the confidence in God. Even if we get thrown into that fire, we will not bow down. We will not submit to what you have to say. Even if the government tries to come in and try to take away everything and try to oppress the people, we will not back down. You're overstepping your boundaries. And if you don't know that you have boundaries within that and in the Constitution, come on a Wednesday night and sit down with us and check it out. It'll get you fired up, knowing that you've been manipulated all this time. You could be very confident that God, who started a good work in you, will see it to completion until the day that Jesus comes. It's an inner work that God continues to work in you, in the heart of every one of his children. And in Philippians 2:13, it says, this is the Passion Translation, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. It's a process. Turn to your neighbor. No, I'm sorry. Seen a video of a woman said, whoever started this turn to your neighbor stuff, y'all can go somewhere with that. And what pleases him is for you to be just like Jesus. As he walks, so do you. Jesus is alive in us, so we don't act like puppets or robots. I thank God that we don't have to act like a robot. Well, how do you know God is not controlling you? I said, because he said it in his word already. I place before you life and death. You choose. We get that choice every single day. So we can choose to walk with him. We could choose to live, allow him to live through us. Or we could choose to run the streets and act like the enemy. Act like the devil. We can choose. That's our choice. The enemy wants puppets and robots, people who can't think for themselves and people who can't speak for themselves. God will always be leading us and guiding us to do his will and to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in us. Now, we know that this day is Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to read this a little bit. It says in Matthew 21, it says, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two on them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with his colt behind, beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks, what are you doing? What you are doing, just say the Lord needs them and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, this is out of Zechariah 9:9, the prophecy. Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this, they asked. And the crowd replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. See, that trip from Bethphage to Jerusalem was about 2 miles. And the reason why he wanted a donkey, we know that it was a donkey and a colt. A colt is just the foal of a donkey. And the colt was never ridden on. But the colt was never prepared for a journey that long. So he had to ride the donkey. So they placed their cloaks on each of them. So he rode the donkey all the way up until he got close to Jerusalem. And then when he entered in, he got on the colt. So he rode both of them. And see, when a king is coming into his rulership and he's getting ready to take over, it is tradition. And we know that the traditions and doctrines of man makes the word of God of no effect. But it is the tradition for the king, the new king, to reveal to his subjects that he's coming in on an animal, and it's usually an animal that is ridden by the previous king. Since Jesus and his disciples knew who he was, where he came from, no other man established Jesus' kingdom. It came from God. That's why he was riding on a colt coming in to his people to reveal to them, your king is here, riding on something that has never been ridden on before, because my kingdom is not of this earth. It's from heaven. Man. Do you understand that Palm Sunday wasn't about Jesus establishing his earthly kingdom, but it's about him establishing his spiritual one? And we all have that opportunity. If you never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you have that opportunity to do that today. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you want to do that today. You don't know if you have a relationship with him. If it was all said and done today. And he was coming back. You know you weren't sure about that. All you have to do is place your trust in what he did for you 2,000 years ago. When he laid down his life and died for you. And 3 days later, he was raised to life. And all he requires is you to confess that with your mouth and believe it in your heart. And if you want to do that today, you go ahead and do that. Say, Lord, I place my trust in you. I put my hope in you. I believe in what you did for me. And I believe you are my Lord and Savior. You can just say that within you and then begin to live your life out every single day for him. Now your works that you've been trying to do in order to get God to love you, they're sealed. See, we do good works because he is good. And we have goodness living on the inside of us. Not because we're trying to get to heaven. Amen. Amen and amen. She's out. Thank you, Jesus. Denise, did you have something? Okay. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand. Turn to your neighbor. Hallelujah. I am going to get you out of your comfort zone. Because I love you. But honestly, I want you to, sometimes we can get through life and go through the day and never pray. But I just want you to grab your neighbor's hand and pray for your neighbor for 30 seconds. The one on the right. And then I'll tell you to switch on the left. Ready? Go. All right. Now pray for the one on your left. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for everyone here. We thank you for the families that came today. We thank you for these babies that dedicated their lives to you, Lord. And we just believe that you will watch them, protect them, and anoint them, and guide them into all truth. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Wednesday night at 7.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.